I think we better leave it at that. Mr. Nicholas Ridley.
With permission, Mr. Deputy Speaker, I wish to make a statement on the Falkland Islands. We have no doubt about our sovereignty over the islands. The Argentines, however, continue to press their claim. The dispute is causing continuing uncertainty, emigration, and economic stagnation in the islands. Following my exploratory talks with the Argentines in April, the government have been considering possible ways of achieving a solution which would be acceptable to all the parties. In this, the essential is that we should be guided by the wishes of the islanders themselves. I therefore visited the islands between the 22nd and 29th of November in order to consult island councillors and subsequently, and at their express request, all islanders on how we should proceed. Various possible bases for seeking a negotiated settlement were discussed. These included both a way of freezing the dispute for a period or exchanging the title of sovereignty against a long lease of the islands back to Her Majesty's government. The essential elements of any solution would be that it should preserve British administration, law and way of life for the islanders, while releasing the potential of the island's economy and of their maritime resources at present blighted by the dispute. It is for the islanders to advise on which, if any, option should be explored in negotiations with the Argentines. I have asked them to let me have their views in due course. Any eventual settlement would have to be endorsed by the islanders and by this House.
Mr. Peter Shaw.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, this is a worrying statement. And will the Minister first confirm that what is involved here is the rights and the future of some 1,800 people of British descent in a territory which was originally uninhabited, a people who wish above all to preserve their present relationship with the UK? And will he reaffirm that there is no question of proceeding with any proposal contrary to the wishes of the Falkland Islanders? And their wishes, and I use the word in the statement, are surely not just guidance to the British government, but those wishes have paramount importance. And has he made this absolutely clear to the government of the Argentine? Is he not aware that proposals for a leasing arrangement present a major weakening of our long-held position on sovereignty in the Falkland Islands, and that to make them in so specific and public a manner is likely only to harden Argentine policy and to undermine the confidence of the Falkland Islanders? And will he therefore make it clear that we shall uphold the rights of the islanders to continue to make a genuinely free choice about their future, that we shall not abandon them, and that in spite of all the logistical difficulties, we shall continue to support and sustain them?
Yeah. Mr. Ridley.
The answer to all of the Right Honourable Gentleman's questions is yes, there are about 1,800 of them. I do make it clear, as I did in my statement, that we should do nothing which was not only did I use the word wishes, but was not endorsed by the islanders. And I further agree that that is the predominant consideration in this matter, and I'm sure that the Right Honourable Gentleman would agree that nothing that he might feel or think or do should equally be allowed to interfere with what the islanders decide themselves. I do confirm that our long-standing commitment to their security and to their economic well-being remains, and I said that in the islands.
Mr. Sir Bernard Brain.
Not my honourable friend agree that the option of yielding on sovereignty and leasing back is to undermine a perfectly valid title in international law. Secondly, does he not realise that the precedent of Hong Kong, which was taken from China by force, is an insult to Falkland Islanders whose ancestors went there over a century ago and settled peaceably in an uninhabited land? Thirdly, did he discuss with representatives of the Falkland Islands alternative means of communications, which are perfectly, perfectly feasible, in order to reduce the island's total dependence upon the Argentine. And lastly, in view of the fresh anxieties that his talks have had, where the future of the islanders is concerned, bearing in mind that the islanders are wholly British in blood and sentiment, will he give us an assurance that the government will include Falkland Islanders as an exception in the forthcoming British nationality law?
I do agree with my honourable friend that we have a perfectly valid title. There is no question of that in our minds. The question is whether the islanders would prefer to have the dead hand of the dispute removed, so that they can not only continue their British way of life, but have reasonable prospects of economic expansion. And that, I would suggest to him, is something which they have every right to give their views upon before we all give ours. I did consult the islanders on the matter of communications, but of course, in the event of a dispute with Argentina, between ourselves and Argentina becoming more tense, he must realise that it is unlikely that communications could be established with neighbouring countries in South America. And so, what's your last point? The question of British nationality is, of course, a matter for my right honourable friend, the Home Secretary.
Mr. Russell Johnson.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, is the Minister aware that his reception in the Falkland Islands left in no doubt their views, but on the other hand made a very considerable doubt about his good intentions?
That's right.
Is he further aware that there is no support at all in the Falkland Islands or in this House for the shameful schemes that, for getting rid of these islands, which have been festering in the Foreign Office for years? And will he now take this opportunity to end speculation once and for all by declaring quite clearly that he disowns these schemes and that he will work to improve the economic and political links between the United Kingdom and the Falkland Islands? That is the way to end the emigration that he talked about earlier.
I must say to the Honourable Gentleman that perhaps I am more aware of the reception that I received in the islands than he is. Even those who did not like what I had to say, I hope at least were agreed upon my good intentions. And I can assure him that there are a large number of people who felt that it was right that something should be done to settle the dispute. Some of them liked some of the ideas and some did not. The islands must be allowed to make up their own minds, and I think the Honourable Gentleman is rushing it a bit in trying to anticipate what they may eventually decide.
Mr. Peter Tapsell.
Honourable friend, bear in mind that some of us who've interested ourselves in the future of the Falkland Islands over the years will have considerable doubts about the tactical wisdom of placing the leasing point on the negotiating table. And we therefore particularly welcome that part of his statement in which he said that no settlement would be pursued which did not have the support of the Falkland Islanders.
I must confirm to my honourable friend that no offer has been made to the Argentine government to negotiate on anything. This was a visit when I consulted the islanders about what they would like to see in any future negotiation, or in the case of a negative answer, in no future, if there were to be no future negotiation. So there is no question that this is a negotiating offer on the table. This is something which the islanders are going to discuss amongst themselves and decide whether they wish it to be pursued.
Mr. Frank Hooley.
The argument of the government that the interests of 1,800 Falkland Islanders take precedence over the interests of 55 million people in the UK.
I don't see that there need be any conflict between the two, especially if a peaceful resolution of the dispute can be found.
Mr. Julian Amory.
Is my honourable friend aware that his statement is profoundly disturbing? Is he aware? Certainly the Falkland Islanders are aware that for years, and here I speak from some experience, his department has wanted to get rid of this commission.
That's right.
Is he is he further aware that it is almost always a great mistake to get rid of real estate for nothing? That the Falkland Islands may have a very important part to play in the future of the South Atlantic, and admitting that the interest of the inhabitants and their wishes must be paramount, that there is also a considerable British interest in maintaining this commitment, which is probably much cheaper to maintain than it is to lose. Would he look back at the cost to us in terms of oil prices of the surrender of Aden and the Persian Gulf position?
I think my right honourable friend knows me well enough to know that I do not embrace schemes which are thrust upon me by my department. The government as a whole has taken the decision to take this initiative, and it is one which is of a political nature, and no part of the Foreign Office's job to devise. I think that there is a great deal in what my right honourable friend said about the need to watch the strategic and other interests in the South Atlantic, and it is in order to secure that these may be peacefully pursued, including the possibilities of oil around the Falklands, that there is a premium on trying to solve the dispute.
Mr. Donald Stewart.
To allay the fears and doubts that a statement will have aroused among the islanders, and to preserve the honour of the government in the affair, now advise the Argentine government that the matter is closed unless and until the islanders wish to reopen.
Yeah. Well, I must repeat to the honourable gentleman that I was in the islands more recently than him, and it was not at all than he. It is not at all the. It is not at all for him to say what the islanders do or do not want. I have asked them directly, and I do not need his services to anticipate what they might say.
Whilst recognising that the Falkland Islands do have severe current economic problems, would the minister not agree that the potential in terms of fisheries and offshore oil of the Falkland Islands are quite sufficient to sustain them economically in the not too distant future, and that we should give those islanders every support in reaching that economic viability?
My honourable friend is right, but he will also know that it has not proved possible under either government to exploit those resources, either of fish or of oil, because of the dead hand of the dispute with Argentina. And it is to make that possible that, again, we are seeking this to find a solution.
McNally.
That his department's policy over many years is a major cause of the uncertainty affecting the islands. That's the real cause of uncertainty. And wouldn't it be better, instead of making these humiliating excursions to the Argentine, to simply say that whatever government and whatever majorities, there will never be a majority in this House to give this historically separate people and separate island to the Argentine?
The honourable gentleman seeks to speak as if he knows more about the position than the Foreign Office as to what their advice has been. than the islanders themselves, and he seems to speak for the whole House of Commons. He might find sometimes that he was wrong.
Lord Cranbourne.
Is my honourable friend aware that this statement today has caused grave disquiet throughout his own supporters, and that by merely entertaining the possibility of the surrender of sovereignty, he is encouraging the islanders to think that they do not enjoy the support they deserve from their home country? Is he also aware that his attitude reminds me of nothing more nor less than the attitude of the Church of England over the old prayer book, which is that the...
Mr. Ridley.
I was happy to be able to assure the islanders that they had our support for whatever course they chose to take. And of course, whether it is the position remains at present or it becomes a lease back, Her Majesty's government is obligated to defend its territories all around the world.
Mr. Douglas Jay.
It's perfectly clear that the islanders, whatever else they may think, have no wish for a change of sovereignty. Why can't the Foreign Office leave the whole matter alone?
Well, again, the right honourable gentleman should have come with me. It would have been very pleasant to... if he had. He might have heard the islanders, a very large number of whom believe that it would be to their advantage to settle this dispute. He must listen to views in the islands instead of going on preaching what he has always believed to be the case.
Order. I think I must protect the business on the order paper. I propose to take three more questions from either side. Mr. Maxwell Hislop.
Did my honourable friend discuss with the islanders the question of their right of access to the United Kingdom in any proposed change in nationality laws, or did he tell them that the Home Office Minister would be visiting the Falkland Islands to do so? In other words, is it only to the House of Commons that my honourable friend won't answer questions about that, or is a Home Office Minister going there? And secondly, what is the position concerning Falkland Islands trade with southern Chilean ports? There was some experimental trade in lamb with them. What opportunities are there for further economic links between southern Chile and the Falkland Islands rather than being totally reliant on Argentina?
The islanders certainly discussed the question of nationality with me, and I said that I would seek to discuss it with my right honourable friend when I got home. My right honourable friend, the Home Secretary, will discuss the matter with me at some stage. The question of trade with Chile is, of course, open. There is no reason why the islanders shouldn't trade with Chile or any other country, and I'm glad to say that there has been one delivery of sheep to Chile, and we hope that there will be further business between the two.
Mr. James Johnson.
The whole House will welcome, indeed has welcomed, the Minister's unequivocal statement that the islanders themselves will be the arbiters and the sole judges of their future destiny. He said that. But what is he doing to ameliorate their conditions? Here are islands 10,000 miles away with a diminishing population, young people leaving these islands. Argentina won't go away, so his duty, Her Majesty's government duty, is to ameliorate conditions between these islands, of course, and the mainland itself. What is he doing in the field of Argentine, Falkland, or Argentine British fishing ventures, or any other commercial exploitation as possible?
I'm taking an initiative to try and see with the islanders whether there is a way of solving the dispute. That is the way to unlock the economic potential which the islanders so badly need.
Mr. Matthew Paris.
Can my honourable friend explain why the continuing dispute with Argentina absolutely, absolutely precludes help from the United Kingdom government to the islanders in developing their territory?
For instance, in answer to my honourable friend, the possibility of declaring the 200-mile zone round the islands is remote without Argentine agreement, because the difficulty of enforcing the licensing of fishing or oil exploration, and successive governments have found that that was not possible in the absence of an agreement. There is also considerable difficulty relating to investment in the extension of credit to the islands because of the fear of investors that the dispute might frustrate their investments.
Mr. Hume Robertson.
Will the Minister tell the House a little bit more about this leasing idea? Is it his idea to sell the freehold to Argentina and lease it back as part of the government's attempts to reduce the public sector borrowing requirement?
Well, of course, the details of any lease-back arrangement would first of all have to be considered by the islanders, and then would be the subject of negotiation with the Argentine, and then would be the subject of endorsement by the islanders and then this House. So it is impossible to go into the details with any accuracy, but it is not envisaged in what I said in the islands that any money would change hands, either in the transfer or in the lease.
Mr. William Shelton.
May I at least congratulate my honourable friend for taking the views of the islanders, which seems to me to be perfectly right and proper. Would he confirm that should those views be a maintenance of the status quo, he will, of course, accept that? And would he also say whether he has contingency plans to help them despite the lack of resolution of the problem in that case?
Yeah. I think, in answer to my honourable friend, we will have to wait and see what the answer is. That is a hypothetical question, and we must consider the situation when we hear from him.
Mr. Lambie.
As one of the few members of this House who have ever visited the Falkland Islands, Is the Minister of State aware of the deeply felt suspicion of the islanders for previous British government and for British politicians, especially those representing the Foreign Office? Is the Minister further aware that his statement today, there was no need for that statement today, that his statement today will further heighten these suspicions? Is this another example of the government reneging on previous promises given to these people?
As one of the other few honourable members who have visited the islands, and I visited them twice, I beg to differ with the honourable gentleman's interpretation, and I can assure him that my welcome was very friendly, and they were extremely kind, and they listened with great attention, and I think they were grateful for the frank discussions which we had about this.
Mr. Peter Shaw.
I was asked a question a few moments ago about if the islanders were to opt for the status quo, would that then be, as far as the British government was concerned, their view on the matter, and they would then sustain it? And the Minister did not give a clear reply to that. So I think he should tell the House that if the government is going to honour its commitment, that the views and the wishes of the Falkland Islanders are to be paramount, which is the word that's been used hitherto, he really must say, and assure the House and the Falkland Islanders that that principle of paramountcy of their wishes about their future will be sustained by the British government.
I've already told the House that anything that was proposed would have to be endorsed by the islanders. So there's no need to repeat that. What I cannot do is to answer a hypothetical question about what might happen in certain circumstances, just as I'm sure the Right Honourable Gentleman wouldn't be prepared to answer the question that if the islanders endorsed the solution, would he be able to make his whole party vote for it?
Mr. Chancellor of the Duchy, the question is that the point of order, Mr. John Farr.
I'm not quite sure whether it's possible to give notice that one would seek to raise a matter on the adjournment after a ministerial statement, but if it is possible, I would like so to do because of the intense dissatisfaction I have with what the Minister has said.
The question is that the elections Welsh Forms No. 2 Regulation 1980 be referred to a standing committee on statutory instruments. As many of that have been to say, aye. The contrary, no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. The Chancellor of the Duchy. The question is the motion on Northern Ireland affairs. Many of that opinion say aye. The contrary, no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. The clerk will now proceed to read the orders of the day.
Communications Bill, second reading. No.